All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're looking at something pretty interesting. It's kind of where medical privacy and theft laws collide.
Yeah, definitely a fascinating area.
So we're going back to 1979. There's a Colorado Supreme Court case, People v. Home Insurance Co. And the big question is, can someone be accused of theft if they get confidential medical information, but they never actually take the physical records?
Right. It really makes you think about what theft really means in a situation like that.
Exactly. Like, imagine someone just listening in on your doctor talking about your medical stuff on the phone.
Yeah.
And they write it all down. Is that theft? It's a bit of a head scratcher.
It really is. And to help us untangle this whole thing, we've got some great material to dig into. We've got analyses that break down all the legal arguments. And we even have the case briefs, both the in-depth kind and the standard ones, for People v. Home Insurance Co. itself.
Perfect. So let's get into it. What actually happened in this case?
Well, you've got the home insurance company and the home indemnity company. They hired this investigative service, you know, the kind that specializes in injury claims. And they were looking into these two people who filed claims. But instead of going after the actual medical files, the investigator tried a different tactic.
Okay. A little sneaky, maybe. I'm intrigued. What did they do?
So they call up the hospital, and get this, they somehow convince a clerk there to read them the entire medical reports over the phone word for word.
No way, seriously.
Yeah, and the investigator is writing all this down. The crazy part is the actual medical records, the paper files, stayed right there at the hospital. They were never actually taken.
That's wild. So no documents went missing, but they still got the info. What happened then? Did the people whose information was taken find out?
Oh, yeah, they did. And the prosecutors decided to charge the insurance companies with theft.
Theft? But nothing was physically stolen.
Right. That was their argument. They said that the confidential information itself was a thing of value, and taking it without permission was theft under Colorado law.
Makes sense. So what was the main legal question the Colorado Supreme Court had to figure out?
It all boiled down to whether confidential medical information could really be considered a thing of value, according to Colorado's theft statute back then.
So what exactly did that statute say a thing of value was?
Well, it had a pretty broad definition. It included real property, tangible and intangible personal property, contract rights, choses in action. Basically, it wasn't just limited to physical things.
So intangible stuff like information could be considered a thing of value, right?
Yeah, the prosecution definitely thought so. But there's this key principle in criminal law you got to remember. Strict construction.
Strict construction. Refresh my memory.
Basically, it means you can't stretch the meaning of a criminal law. If something isn't clearly and specifically forbidden by the law, you can't treat it as a crime, even if it seems wrong morally.
Oh, I see. So even if what the insurance companies did was shady, it wasn't automatically theft just because it felt wrong.
Exactly. The court even said the company's actions were, and I quote, reprehensible and outrageous, but they still couldn't convict them just on that.
Gotcha. And I remember our notes mentioned that the court also looked at how property is traditionally understood. What did they say about that?
Right. The court looked at intangible personal property and considered what usually falls under that category, like patents, stocks, bonds. Those are intangible, but they have clear value and you can buy and sell them.
Yeah, makes sense.
But with confidentiality, especially for medical info, it wasn't seen as this established type of property you could trade or sell.
Okay, so you can't really sell someone's medical secrets like you can a stock certificate.
Exactly. And here's another thing. Colorado already had laws about doctor-patient confidentiality, right?
Like the idea that your conversations with your doctor are private.
Exactly. But the court pointed out that there was no specific law saying that getting confidential medical info like this was a crime. They figured if lawmakers wanted it to be a crime, they would have written a law about it.
So the court was basically telling the lawmakers, if you want this to be illegal, you got to spell it out.
Exactly. They made it clear that it's the legislature's job to make laws, not the courts.
Right. Checks and balances.
And on top of all that, the court was worried about opening a can of worms. They called it the floodgates argument.
Meaning what?
Well, if they said confidentiality was a thing of value under the theft law, it could lead to all sorts of everyday privacy breaches being considered crimes, like gossiping or sharing personal info, things that might be wrong, but not usually criminal.
Yeah, you can see how they could get out of hand.
Definitely. And there's this key quote from the court that really drives home their point. Proof of moral turpitude is not alone sufficient to authorize a criminal conviction.
What does that mean exactly?
It means just because something is morally wrong doesn't automatically mean it's a crime. there needs to be a specific law against it. This is really important for law students to understand because it shows the difference between something being unethical and something being illegal.
Right. Like, in this case, maybe the people whose info was taken could sue the insurance company, but it wasn't necessarily a crime.
Precisely. So, in the end, what are the big takeaways from People v. Home Insurance Co.?
Yeah, what's the lasting impact of this case?
Well, first, it shows that courts have to stick to the written law. They can't just make up new crimes. Second, it shows that the legislature needs to be very specific when writing laws, especially about new and complex issues.
And this case is from 1979. How does it apply to all the data privacy issues we have today?
That's the really interesting part. The basic principles about how to interpret laws are still super relevant, but now we have all this digital information, medical records included, stored online. And data itself is incredibly valuable.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like our online data is worth more than our physical possessions.
Right. So the question is, should the legal definition of theft change to include data? Some states have already passed laws specifically about cyber theft and data breaches.
So even though this 1979 ruling said no to calling this specific case theft, the legal landscape is a lot different now.
Exactly. This case shows us how courts used to think about information as property. But things have changed a lot. Today, we need clear laws about data privacy and how to protect it.
Before we finish, let's go over those key legal ideas one more time, just to make sure everyone's got it.
Sure thing. First, strict construction of criminal laws. Laws need to specifically outlaw an action for it to be a crime. Second, we talked about tangible and intangible property and how the court in 1979 didn't think medical confidentiality fit the definition of property that could be stolen. And lastly, remember the difference between civil and criminal remedies. Just because something is unethical doesn't automatically make it a crime.
Awesome. Thanks for breaking that down. And here's a question for all our listeners. Should the legal definition of theft be updated for the digital age? Do we need entirely new laws about data privacy? It's something to think about.
Definitely. People v. Home Insurance Co. is a really important case, even today.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we need clear laws in this digital world to protect our information and hold people accountable when that information is misused.
Great stuff. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll see you next time.